The city council meeting for the city of Cedar Hills. The time is 6:05 p.m. My name is Daniel Zapala. I am Mayor Pro Tem today, sitting in for Mayor Gigi, who is going to be just a few minutes late today. We're going to begin by having an invocation. I have down that Councilman Crawley is set to do it, but Trent, would you mind offering an invocation for today? And then
work session?
No, we're not doing work session today.
Regular council.
Council meeting.
Oh, okay.
And then Councilman Geddes, could you offer the invocation?
Sure.
Or excuse me, the pledge.
Invocation. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we're able to gather tonight as friends, neighbors, and leaders of the community. We're grateful for the area in which we have to live and for everything that we have that surrounds us. We ask you to please bless us tonight, that we'll be able to have open minds and open hearts, that we'll be able to ask the questions and have the insight needed in order to help guide and direct our community to the best of our abilities. We thank thee for those around us and those that are willing to serve. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Would the audience please rise? Repeat the pledge after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Be seated.
Okay, we have the agenda before us. I'm looking for a motion to approve the agenda for tonight. So, motion to approve the agenda?
I will motion to approve the agenda.
Do we have a second?
I second it.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Do we have anybody who has signed up to give public comment tonight at the meeting? Okay, seeing nobody. We will close the public comment for tonight and move on to our agenda. Item number 4 on our agenda is a discussion review of the request for qualifications for professional services. We're going to go through building inspector and plan review services, engineering services, and financial audit services. Turn some time over to our city manager to kick that off.
Great. So we appreciate all of the companies who are represented here on the agenda tonight, and the format for tonight, what we would like to do is have each company set up for a time. We're a little bit behind, but we would like the companies to take 5 to 7 minutes to kind of explain who they are, their attributes, what makes them the best firm to help the city of Cedar Hills out, and then we will take 3 to 5 minutes for city council to ask questions. And then we will just move along in that order according to the schedule that was sent out. And then after all the firms have presented, then there will be a review action item later on the agenda that the council can then discuss and make a motion. So what we would like to do is have the audit firms will be first. And so first up, it will be Squire & Company, and then Gilbert & Stewart, and then Keddington and Christensen. So if Squire & Company could take the mic, and you're welcome to give us a presentation and tell us about your company. Take, 5 to 7 minutes or so.
All right.
And Chandler here, he doesn't look like a bouncer, but he was in his previous job. So he's going to really be tight with the time here so we can keep moving.
I'll give you a 2-minute warning.
Whoa.
The official timekeeper then, huh? All right. Okay. Well, I promise I'm not the one that brought the wind and rain. So anyway, nonetheless, it's here. Appreciate the opportunity of being here tonight. My name is Dave Brown. I'm with Squire & Company, as you previously mentioned. And we're here, obviously, to talk about the audit services that you've solicited specific to the audit of the city. My background, my experience with Squire & Company, I've been there for about 15 years overall. I'm an audit partner. Our firm, we're a local firm, clearly, have about 80 employees overall, broken out into various departments. We have a standalone, if you will, audit department, an audit group that focuses strictly on doing auditing overall. I'm an audit partner with the firm. Like I mentioned, I've been there for 15 years. About 50% of my practice is in government audit type clients. And so it is a focus of mine, as is it a focus of our firm overall. As a firm, we audit annually approximately 30 various governments and government-type entities. From an existence perspective, we started in 1973. In that time frame, we've performed probably 200 or more government audits in that time frame, so a pretty good number, obviously. That ranges from the regular Yellow Book audits that the city would be looking for, also those that would involve single audit in a situation where that would be necessary and required. So a full-service audit firm focusing on governments and things of that nature. Our audit team is myself, and the key members of that would be myself and Ray Bartholomew and Matt Geddes. Ray Bartholomew is an individual that's well-known throughout the government community, works closely with many, many different organizations, including the State Auditor's Office, State Office of Education, and is really considered an expert in those things and is looked to as such in getting answers and helping with answers to various questions that the State Auditor's Office would have and other groups as well. And so he's had over 30 years of experience. In terms of how we do things, we have a lead partner and then a quality control partner. The role I would serve would be that of the lead partner. Ray would be the quality control partner on the job. The other key individual that we have, his name's Matt Geddes. He's been with our firm for about 8 years. Once again, very well versed in government auditing and the things that are required with respect to that. In terms of what we do and the, you know, the qualifications we have as a firm, our experience is obviously our greatest asset. We're a member of the Audit Quality Center of the AICPA, which requires us to get certain levels of training, and so all of our staff are very well trained and versed in the requirements of the government auditing itself. In terms of just us as a firm, we take, this is a significant portion of our business overall. It's not a side note, it's not something we do after tax season, it's something that it's us, and this is what we do, and it's not a hobby for us. So that, I think, is a plus for us. We also get involved in helping with training and lead out, really, in the implementation of new standards and the interpretation of those by providing assistance and help to communities as well as the overall, like I mentioned before, State Auditor's Office. And those individuals, and would be committed to doing that, obviously, for the city as well, and implementing new standards. Some of those new standards that are coming out that you may be aware of currently, one that's gotten a lot of press lately is the pension reporting standard, GASB 68, you've probably heard of that. The new one, brand new one that just came out, deals with fair value measurements. Tries to bring that in line with the reporting that you see on the private side. And so that's, too, another one that we lead out in and assist with implementation as well as disclosure and things of that nature with respect to part of what we do in performing our audits. Okay. Like I mentioned, we are well-trained, and we... You know, just really appreciate the opportunity to be here, to have the opportunity to provide a bid, and would look forward to becoming a valuable partner as part of your team in fulfilling your financial reporting and compliance requirements. So, thank you.
All right, we're open now for questions from the council, if you have any questions for Squires and Company.
The only question I might have, kind of defer to Charl because he's our finance director, and you know, I don't know that I would have any more questions other than what he might ask. So,
I'll probably just ask the same questions to most of them if they don't cover it in their presentation, but...
Do you want the mic?
One of the questions, he over went through it. I just want them to talk about the proposed staff, and he already went over that. One of the questions I have is over a flexible timetable. If something happened to me or one of my other staff, and when does the trial balance need to be prepared by, and when does field work need to be done to do the financial statements by December 1st?
Okay.
That's why we have him here.
He knows the right questions to ask. Huh?
Uh-huh.
Clearly, our preference would be able to get started as quick as we can. Realistically, with the June 30 year end, you're probably talking the end of July before you have a trial balance ready. We could be available and ready at that point. If that needed to change and flex into August, that doesn't create any real challenges for us from a staffing perspective. That's one advantage of having, you know, a 20-member audit group, is that we can shift schedules around if necessary and meet whatever requirements are there. So typically we would like probably 3 to 4 weeks from the date of field work to be able to finalize and wrap things up in order to meet that final deadline.
So Charles, is that typically what we've had in the past? I mean, would that work for what we need? Is there any...
Typically our audits have been October or September. So...
Yeah. Which works with our schedule. We don't have any trouble with making that work.
The work.
Right.
Time frame.
Correct.
Okay. Also, what does your audit fee include and what doesn't it include? Because it seems like everyone has disclaimers, so I just wanted you to say...
Okay.
I know from experience that you guys do some things that maybe...
Yeah. One of the things that we run into, and your city is a good example of this, is you prepare a CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. Not all cities do that. Not all counties do that. One of the things that we like to do and are committed to do with our fee is to help and review through that and assist in the preparation of that. And so in terms of our fee overall, it would be the audit itself, it would be the state legal compliance, and another consultation in preparing and assisting in the end product, that being the financial statements themselves. And then on top of that, any supplemental consultation that wasn't major would be at no additional fee.
Okay. And I'll take it from here.
Just to clarify, what format are you able to work in as far as financial statements go? Our publisher, Excel, Word?
Yeah. I mean, what we have is the Microsoft Office products, but we wouldn't be limited at all with regard to Microsoft Publisher, so that wouldn't cause us any challenges or problems.
Any other questions from council?
So one quick question for you. Mm-hmm. So what do you feel is the biggest asset you bring to our city of our size?
The biggest asset we bring? Mm-hmm. I think it, for me personally, it's just our knowledge of the subject area and our ability to help you interpret, understand, and implement new standards as they come up. We work really, really hard to stay on the front edge of that and be a valued resource to you as a result.
Cool. Thank you.
So I apologize for being late, and I want to thank Mayor Pro Tem Zapala for handling things while I wasn't here. And in case this question was already asked, I apologize. How many cities do you already represent?
As far as audits that we currently do?
Yes.
Currently, we audit one town. Our history has been that we have audited several different cities throughout the county and otherwise. But right now, that one town is all that we've currently audit.
Which town?
The town of Goshen.
Okay.
So, that said, in the past, that's been a decision that we've made to not focus on cities as much. but is an area that we're very interested in and expanding in. So.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up is Gilbert and Stewart.
Good evening.
Evening.
My name is Ron Stewart. Obviously, I'm with an audit partner with Gilbert and Stewart CPAs. A little bit about us. We are started in 1973. Two partners started the firm. We've been operating in Utah County since that time. I've been doing government audits for the majority of that. We focus on school districts and cities. We do quite a few school districts and cities every year. A little bit about our firm. We're a smaller firm, which I think gives us an advantage in the fact that as we come out, that you get to see the partners on a regular basis. So we're in office. We're here. We're able to see things that are happening as they happen. We can make decisions and help you through things as it transpires. So we feel that gives us an advantage, the fact that we're actually on site, and when you have a question, you're going to deal directly with us. There are about 20 of us in our firm. The audit staff that will be focused on this audit is myself. I'll be the audit partner. I've got 15 years of experience in auditing. I joined the firm in 1999. James Gilbert is the other partner. He has over 25 years of experience, and he'll be working alongside us. And then we have two staff that will be assigned to the audit as well. And both of them have extensive experience in performing auditing services. We have, on an annual basis, we are involved in CPE and training and courses that help us become knowledgeable and understanding of what it takes to audit a city. Like I say, we do cities, so we're here and we know what it takes to be able to help you guys through the situations that you come up against. We have been kind of focused a lot on doing the small cities that we can kind of get involved in and be a part of. And we really enjoy that. And that's something that we really take pride in, is the fact that we can be involved and a partner with you. So as things come up and as challenges come up throughout the year, that we can be there and be involved and be a part of it. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to put our bid in and to be a partner with you in the city. And that's Gilbert and Stewart. So
I'll start.
Okay.
Mr. Stewart, right?
Yes.
Mr. Stewart, how many cities or towns do you represent?
Right now, we do over probably 10 to 12.
10 to 12 audits. Mm-hmm. Very good. Council, any questions?
So what has been your biggest struggle, or what have you seen with the smaller cities? Because smaller cities have different needs, requirements, different issues that they face compared to larger cities. What have you seen as the biggest stumbling block, biggest challenge, things that you run into that may face our city that you guys can help work with and resolve?
I think the biggest challenge you have in a small city is the fact that there isn't a large number of staff to separate all the functions. And I think that's the problem that small cities run into, is one person is doing multiple jobs, and how do you navigate that? We like to come in, we like to look at processes and then controls and try and help these small cities figure out ways that, you know, they can separate those duties out amongst themselves, or how the board and city council can be involved in helping to be able to separate those ideas and those things out. So, in a small city, I think it's the staff limitations that sometimes are their biggest challenges.
Okay. And not to speak for our city manager, but I know that a lot of our staff wears many hats and try to cover and help out where they can. So I think that's something that you're spot on with, is that small cities, especially like ours, do have to do many roles in order to get things accomplished, because we don't have huge staffs. I mean, we don't have 60, 80 people like some of the bigger cities. So okay. But definitely. So thank you.
Yep.
What percentage of your business is government audits right now?
I would probably say 40-45% of our audit. Well, maybe 40%.
Okay.
We do. We also have a tax practice as well that generates some of it. We focus a lot on government audits in those times.
And Charles, did you have additional questions?
Can you just go over kind of the timeline for your staff, your preferred timeline? And I don't know if you heard what I said before, but if there was turnover, you know, normally we try to have a trial bounce to you by maybe middle September. If it was in the middle of October, you know, what's your restraints? You know?
Well, because we do significant number of these audits, we've figured out the process of how to come in, be effective, get done what we need to get done, and be out of your hair. We like the fact that, you know, we can come in, get what we need to do, and let you do your jobs and not be in your way as much as possible. That being said, so we understand, you know, what it takes to come in and find the things that we need to be able to make this effective. That gives us the flexibility, I think, that if something happened, that we'd be able to adapt to that. We have the resources and the knowledge and the expertise to be able to, you know, to reallocate those resources and be able to meet the needs that you have and to meet the time frames that you're required for.
And as far as what your audit fee includes, does that include, I was previously stated, like research for GASB or new state compliance things? How have you helped your clients, and what's included and what's not included?
You know, that's one of the things we kind of pride ourselves on. The fact is, what fee we give you is the fee that you're going to pay, and you're not going to find something that's going to come along the line and somebody's going to say down the road, well, we're going to add this, or hey, there's this thing that we didn't know. We put our bid out, they said we're going to do the audit services for that fee, and that's what it's going to be. How we help, you know, we like to be your partner, and we want to be involved with you. So as new pronouncements come out, as new state compliance issues come about, we're going to be there to help you understand what those are and help you implement them, not wait until we come out and then tell you didn't do them, but be proactive and let you know up front that that's what's coming down the road.
And how familiar are you with the various Microsoft Office products besides Excel and Word, like Publisher?
Obviously, we have the ability to do that. We have staff that are involved that understand those programs and can make it work. Obviously, we're mostly familiar with Excel because that's what we do every day, but we do have the expertise to be able to help you put your CAFA together and put it into that format.
Mr. Geddes, any questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Stewart, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kennington and Christensen.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to come tonight. My name is Gary Kennington. I'm the managing partner of Kennington and Christensen. And let me introduce our firm for you a little bit, in the fact that we're a bit different than most accounting firms, in that we basically do just government auditing. We don't have a tax department, and so therefore it allows us to just spend our efforts and our energy on just learning how to do audits. And to answer one of the questions that have already been asked, probably 90% of our audit practice is in governments. Now let me explain a little bit to some of the clients that we deal with right now. We currently are auditing, or have recently been auditing, West Valley City, Orem, West Jordan, Highland, Linden, Bountiful, Murray. But not only do we do the larger ones, but we also do some of the smaller ones, such as we do Woods Cross, we do Washington Terrace, Syracuse, about middle type city. We do 8 of those actually have CAFRs. So we prepare a lot of CAFRs. We understand how the CAFRs are working, how they come in, what the requirements are necessary to create that document. We do so many of them that that we really don't have to charge too much to actually put that together because we're so familiar with how those requirements. One of the things that also sets us apart is that not only do we do a lot of auditing, but we're also outside what you might call consultants, but we're finance directors. I personally am a finance director for three cities, so I know what it's like to be audited. I have to be audited by different firms, and I have to put it out in the RFP, and I have to do the budgets. And in fact, part of some of the responsibilities that I've had to do is, you know, as new councils come on, that it's really hard to understand government financial statements. People are sophisticated. They understand their own businesses and regular accounting, but government accounting is quite different. So I have a presentation that I go in and I educate some of the council members when they first come on so they can get an idea of what budgets are, how it works. It's not balance sheet driven. It's more budget driven. So we do a lot of the accounting and helping with councils as well as doing a lot of audits. So obviously to be able to do that, we have to go to a lot of training. We have to be very familiar with what the standards are. And in preparing for different auditors and preparing for, you know, for our own audits that we have to do. We are very familiar with the accounting software that you have. We have to deal with that every day. I mean, even today I was doing the books for a city and getting ready for that and finding out that some of the things hadn't been posted, so I have to go in and get things posted. And so we're very, very familiar with what your accounting software is. So that we're very prepared in that. One of the questions that you had, let me look at my list here, all the questions you had there, is one of the things we don't charge for any phone calls or anything like that. I know it's when you get these proposals, like I say, I'm on the other side of it, and you sit there and try to figure out, okay, what's the real cost going to be? And the reason you do that, obviously, is because you have to work through your budgets. You have to know what you're going to spend. And you can't have somebody just walk in and say, well, here your fee was going to be $14,000, $15,000, $16,000, whatever the bid is, and then all of a sudden it's $5,000 more. Because, you know, the challenge of a small city, because obviously I'm the finance director for some smaller cities that can't afford to hire somebody, the biggest problem is our funds. How are we going to manage those? Because we don't have this infinite resources that seems like a West Valley or a West Jordan or an Orem has. We have a lot. It's a lot tougher to be able to manage the funds, and so you really need to know. So just as an answer to what goes into to our bid is that we bid it in two things. If you wanted to do the financials, then it would be a less price, and if you wanted to have us do it, then that was in there. As it comes to helping you and phone calls and those kind of things, obviously we don't charge for that. We would much rather. Truth is, it's much better for the auditor if we tackle the issue right up front and not have issues once we get to the actual audit. As you can see, one of the things that sets us apart is that we're kind of accounting nerds, and we're hate to admit that, but we're real nerds into the government accounting, and we really love it. That's one of the things that we really enjoy doing. Otherwise, we wouldn't be so involved in just doing government. It's bad enough that I'm also the president of a board on a special district. So not only do I do it during the daytime, but I have to go to board meetings. I have to make those decisions, so I know what it is to be on that side, your side as well as the accounting side, as well as being on the auditor side. It's pretty much my life is government. So we don't charge for any of those things. That's who we are. We just love doing government accounting.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Obviously, I don't need to ask how many cities you represent. You rattled off a bunch. So
yeah, we have quite a few. And then probably 15 special districts besides helping school districts. We even do a city that's in – we got a call from Arizona, you know, to please come down and help us get our accounting set up.
So how long have you guys been doing this again?
I have been doing government accounting for over 30 years.
30 years. Thank you.
Yeah.
And where are you located?
In Salt Lake and Murray.
In Murray.
53rd South.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Council and Charles, go ahead.
Okay. So as far as audit staff, I know you're very experienced. What audit staff would you bring with you?
Yeah, that's a great question, because how we form an NR firm is, I'm not a partner that sits in the office. Frankly, that's why I don't do taxes. I don't want to sit in an office. I like to get out there, so I will actually be on the audit here. Our partners, our working partners, they're in the field. They'll be here during the audit. So how that helps is that if there is an issue, we make the decision right then, and we don't have to sit there and wait and the manager. So what we'll have is, I will be on the audit. We will also have a manager who I brought with me, Steve Rowley here, and he'll be on it, and we'll have a staff or two depending on the need we need. Now, our staff are training on that is kind of interesting, the fact that we realize you don't want to train. I don't want to train when I'm the finance director. I don't like having auditors that aren't trained. And so we make all of our junior staff actually learn all the accounting and help us with the finance directors, so that they've already reconciled all balance sheet accounts. They understand their revenues, where the sources are from, so they don't have to really ask you a lot of questions because they're pretty well trained.
As far as how flexible your timetable is.
Timetable, like you said, if something happens, obviously we're going to work with you on that. Like I said, I understand those when things don't always go as smooth as they can. So, you know, whatever ends up being your time frame, 1 year I realized that you might have it ready in at the end of July and the 1st of August. The next year, because of circumstances, who knows, you're having a bond issue, you're having some other issues that are taking your time, that if we needed to move it to October, even if we needed to move it to November, we can do that. We have so many of these government clients, we just all move them around. And it gets down to just who's ready, we put them in the slot, and we get it done. I mean, this is what we do.
Okay. Great. And I know, I just noticed in your proposal there was a lot of language about if you had to do research or if there was a prior period adjustment, it would cost more. So things like that, are you willing to take that out of the contract, that if things, right now, the way it's written, it shows that those things do cost more.
Yeah, I'll tell you why that is. Is because typically when we pick up a new client, we inevitably, because this is what we do, and a lot of firms that they do it only, you know, partial. They have tax practices, and they do it partial of their practice. And this is what we do. We find quite a bit of prior period adjustments, meaning that we have to adjust the prior audit, and so. If it's not something that's going to take us weeks, like last year I had one that literally took us weeks to go back through everything, well, we can't eat weeks. You know, this is a business just like you guys have businesses. You just can't eat everything. But typically, if it's one or two things, yeah, we don't worry about that. If there's research on a new standard, obviously we're not going to charge you for that. It's when all of a sudden something goes completely haywire, which happens once in a while. That's why we have it in there. I've only once ever actually exercised that option, and that was last year when we had to do basically redo the financials from the prior year, and that took us weeks to do, and so we gig up. But before we ever do it, understand this, before we ever do that, we will come to you and talk to you about it. It will never be at the end of the audit all of a sudden you get a bill, because frankly, like I say, I'm on that other side. Do I ever want to receive that when I'm a finance director? Not a chance, right? So I want way up front, and so we give you that same courtesy that it would be there.
And as far as format of the CAFR, my understanding is that you use Microsoft Word.
Yeah, we talked about that on the phone, and we use Microsoft Word and Excel, and we do the exporting of that. If we needed to put it into the other, then we'll get that program and we'll just take care of it, if that's your preference. But it shouldn't be that hard to be able to get that.
So are you willing to take some of that language out?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was curious.
Like I said, we don't seldom ever really use it, but it's when somebody really goes bad.
I can give you an example. Last year we moved our golf fund from a enterprise fund to a special revenue fund, and to make it more comparable, I restated the prior year. Is that something? I mean, I did the work, but they still had to review it. You know?
Oh no, that's yeah. If you do the work, what I'm talking about is when you walk in and all of a sudden the entire fixed assets are wrong, and you have to spend you know, weeks when they got too many things mixed up, and there's, I mean, the whole financials are bad. If you're going to do the work, no, there's not going to be any charge for that.
Was that it? Is that our time? No. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. We have an option here. I don't know if this was discussed before I got here. We have the ability to award a contract now if you would like to do that, or we can go through building plan inspection, engineering, and come back and do them all at the same time.
Actually, Mayor, we have everybody on a schedule, so we have inspection services.
You want to go through everyone first before we come back?
Well,
and
yeah, because we
that's the way our agenda is laid out.
Okay, that'll work.
If we could.
We did have 5 minutes before the next one, but we can move right ahead. So we're going to go building plan review and inspection, and Sunrise Engineering is up first.
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to be before you and propose and have the opportunity to come back to your fine community and provide these services again. I want to introduce myself. My name is Mark Huntsman. I'm the Senior Vice President of Operations with Sunrise Engineering, and I have with me James Short, who runs our Building and Safety Department, which includes plan review and all the services that you had in your RFP. A little history about Sunrise. We've been around a little over 30 years. We originally started in Fillmore, Utah, serving rural communities. And since then, we've grown. We're about 200 employees, and we presently have offices in 3 states, and we're serving in about 5 states. We have quite a diverse company. One of the departments that we have is our building department. We're presently working in your area here. You have a couple sister communities, Alpine and also Highland, that were under contract providing similar services. I know time's real important here. A little bit about our team. Our team that we proposed is the same team that provides services for these two other communities here, so we're like not wanting to mix that up. They're already close, and working with local contractors and understand all these processes. The team includes the building inspector has a little over 40 years, the plan reviewer has I think 43 years, and the backup people that are also proposed in the team, the plan reviewer's 40 plus years, and the building inspector is I think pushing 14. That's you. Some of the strengths of our group on our building department is that we work for a lot of different jurisdictions, a little over 30 jurisdictions, including counties, cities, and towns scattered around the state. We've learned a lot through the years. Some of the strengths that we have is how we communicate, not just with our clients, but with the home builders and also the contractors. To make sure they know the expectations, and we're in the compliance business, which is real important, and we have to enforce these codes and do it in a way that's palatable for all that are involved. So that's just a quick overview of who we are. We really value your questions, and so we would love to get into that. I could try to sell Sunrise, but I think you guys know who we are.
Thank you. So, how close are you guys?
We have, well,
just to
go ahead.
The city here currently, our main office is in Draper, but our individuals that are actually in Alpine and Highland are down here daily.
Okay.
So scheduling would be a non-issue. We go between Alpine and Highland on a daily basis, and adding Cedar Hills would not even be a concern. It would be very, very simple process.
So who would be the contact for Cedar Hills?
For scheduling or for conflict?
Both.
For scheduling, it'll be our scheduling office in Fillmore, who handles all of our cities so that there's no confusion amongst where somebody's supposed to be at a certain time. Conflict resolution will come through myself.
Okay.
If it needs to be escalated, obviously we have Mark that can step in or help, but most of it will come through me.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Mogg, you're welcome to join in the questioning if you feel like you'd like to ask questions as well.
Just a couple. Obviously, timeliness.
Mr. Mogg, if you wanted to have a seat behind a mic, then everyone can hear.
And one of our concerns is timeliness, and you've addressed the inspection portion of it. Turnaround time for submitted plan reviews, what time estimation do you have on that?
Typically, we try to have plans back within a week, unless the city has a expedited time frame for specific projects, that we basically run on your timeline.
So can you break that into residential and commercial?
They'll actually be done the same. Commercial obviously could take longer, but we generally prioritize projects as they come in. We do have multiple plan reviews on our staff, so if our staff, Roger Evans, who will be assigned to Cedar Hills, isn't able to get to a plan, another senior plan examiner will be given that project to meet that time frame. So, I mean, we really do pride ourselves in our turnaround. So, I mean, we work nights and weekends to get stuff done. And that's no added cost to you, if that was going to be a question.
And would our contractor citizens contact our office to schedule appointments, or would we give them a number and they would contact your office directly?
That's at your discretion. We have the full capability out of our Fillmore office to handle all scheduling.
Okay.
So.
So okay. What do you guys use as far as scheduling to make sure nothing's missed? What happens if something like that's missed? Kind of describe that process and walk through that if you could.
Lori handles a central database that she updates on everybody's phones on an hourly basis, so we can be updated within the hour of upcoming inspections that may have been missed by a contractor or a homeowner that forgot to call in. So Lori can be in contact with an inspector within the hour to accommodate schedules to catch up a schedule mishap.
Okay. And as long as they scheduled 24 hours in advance?
Correct.
So
it's very rare we go outside of 24 hours, but it's very rare. 24 hours is our turnaround time.
But generally, it's the day before. So in our office hours, if it's 4:30 and the request goes in for something in the morning, then we scramble to make sure that happens.
Yeah, so next day.
Now and again, there's little emergencies that happen on weekends where somebody forgot or something real important is happening, and we happen to have Jason Draper, and then also we have staff in Utah County that can dispatch on those. Of course, we like to try to keep them in the Monday through Friday schedule, but we do have that capability to deal with those emergencies.
Yeah, and one of the big things that's going to be coming up for Cedar Hills, hopefully speaking, of course, is our commercial district. And so we do anticipate that we will have commercial coming up at some point in the future. So do you split out your inspections? Does each individual inspector have their own specialty, or do your inspectors cover everything?
Our inspectors are fully certified to cover all the areas of the code. We do have inspectors that are more specialized in commercial work. They typically do projects for the DFCM, which does state work throughout the whole state, that we can lean on for their expertise to get those commercial buildings done as quickly and as practical as possible.
Yeah, because I know a lot of cities, even for their residential, they'll have different people that go out for footing and foundation versus framing versus shear.
That is a practice that's going away. A lot of cities have found that it can cause turmoil when one practice comes in and does his inspection, then the second one comes in and realizes that the prior person didn't catch a few things that are going to hold up the process. Mm-hmm. So we find it's much better to have a fully certified individual. So.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to check to see how you guys handle it, because I know every city, every entity has a slightly different way to do it.
Right, so. And the nice thing about being in so many municipalities, we have a lot of uniformity, so we're not going to have that one oddball inspector just down here just ripping your contractors apart. So, and if a question does come about where it's the first time he's ever heard it or not been called on an item, we always group our efforts on making those decisions. So it's not just left to one individual.
Okay. And how many inspectors would be in Cedar Hills?
One.
So we would just have one inspector. Correct. That would cover residential and commercial. Okay.
As a needed basis. If it grew to where it was needed to accommodate two, we would do that shift. You wouldn't even see that change. Our scheduling office would handle it.
Like the other communities also, we get two deep. That's part of our concept, to be two and three deep, so that if somebody's gone or it's vacation or something's happening, and that we got to bring more horsepower in, it's not a surprise to anybody, like a foreigner coming in and calling coach. So we do a little bit of rotation, but not a lot. just so everybody's familiar with who the inspectors are.
So. Much better answer. Thank you. Yeah, because I want to make sure that we don't just have one person that, oh, we're going on vacation, and now they have no idea what's going on in Cedar Hills. So I do like to hear that two deep, three deep,
and
to make
have,
sure that people
we have
are
monthly
on
staff
same page.
Meetings to accommodate larger projects like commercial with apartments and high-rise structures of those nature so that everybody is familiar with what's going on. So if that does happen, everybody is kept up to speed.
Okay, cool.
So as I'm a general contractor. I've built several homes in Highland.
I'm sure you've seen me.
And Alpine, yeah. The only thing I sometimes, and I know I like your answer, but occasionally we get to the point where it's like calling an inspection and says, well, we're full for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be 2 days out. Does that happen these days?
I'll say no with Sunrise. We will do every effort possible. We have, as we said, people from all over the state. We've got a guy from Springville. We've got a guy that covers in the Elk Ridge area. And if need be, if he's able, we will absolutely move him up to accommodate those schedules. We don't like to tell people no.
Okay. And your turnaround time again was a week on the plan check?
Worst case. Most cities ask us to give a 15-day turnaround, but we're typically within a week is our worst case scenario.
That's a little better than we're getting right now.
Yes.
Okay.
One other question. Currently, we're using paper plans and paper reports. Is that compatible? And if we was to change in the future, is that going to create a problem if we went paperless?
Absolutely not. We have the capability to help a city become integrated with paperless, not only on plan review, but as well as inspections. So we have the capability to handle those electronically in both areas.
But you can do paper now?
Absolutely. Yeah, we handle them both. Some areas are still doing residential on paper and commercial electronically, so we're able to do the city in both facets based on need. So if a contractor had a personal preference to do it electronically, we could absolutely accommodate that.
Thank you.
Just part of the evolution of what's happening in that industry. Paper is still available, so we're still in the paper business.
Sometimes it's better. Stay away from Draper.
Anything else from down here?
Nope.
Mr. Zappala, any questions?
My questions all got asked before I could.
They did.
We're excellent. Both general contractors, so that's okay. Why we're drilling you on it.
That's okay.
Mrs. Reese, I know you just got here, but I don't want to neglect you if you're asking why.
Thank you, though.
Okay. Pretty good. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks.
Next in line is Kimball Engineering.
My name is Todd Snyder. I'm with Kimball Engineering. I have to apologize. Chris and Bruce, who normally handle this aspect of it, are out in Elko today, actually Northern Nevada, doing a seminar, and they haven't made it back yet. So hopefully I can answer all your questions and provide some information. Kimball Engineering, we have our office is located, our primary office is located in Layton. We actually are under a parent company called WC3. It's located in San Ramon, California. But we're a locally operated company out of this Layton office. We do have a new office out in West Jordan, and that would be the office that would be servicing Cedar Hills. We have multiple staff people out there. That office is actually held by George Williams. He's currently our inspector and plan reviewer. He's fully certified as a master code professional as well as a four-way certified for both commercial and residential inspections. We do multiple plan review projects throughout the state for multiple jurisdictions. We also do plan reviews in Nevada, Washington, and California. We're involved in several plan review projects. And so our staff here consists of about 14 people. We just added another licensed structural engineer. So we have multiple structural engineers on staff to make sure those reviews are done by a structural engineer. And then we have two master code professionals and multiple certified building officials on our staff to do our plan review services. And then we also have multiple various inspectors. Currently, right now, the inspections we do, we have someone coming down almost weekly for Utah County. That's John Webb doing inspections out there. So we also have multiple inspectors to provide those services. One of the key items that Kimball Engineering does is we're one of the leading industries. WC3, which is our parent company, has created a new system called eProcess 360. and they've created the website that DFCM uses, Salt Lake County. We're introducing one for Taylorsville City. And what this is an online tracking system that tracks all the plans and inspection services for a city. So everybody can submit plans if they want electronically to the city. The city can then monitor and track all of the inspection services that are done, the plan review process. When there are deferred submittals on a project, we can note that they're there, guarantee that they're submitted and reviewed prior to issuing a certificate of occupancy. We can track all the special inspections through that system. We can track all of the building inspections through that system. One of the nice conveniences of that electronic system is we allow the plan reviewer, when he's doing the review, to do it electronically, but they can also go out to the field as an inspector, and instead of relying on the contractor to have the hard copy of the approved set of plans and not a redlined or modified set of plans, they have direct access to the approved version, which is online, and they can do their inspections with that on their tablets and laptops out in the field. It also allows them to verify which inspections have occurred, post their inspection reports, and it gives notifications to the full design team immediately after inspections have occurred. That system can also be used to track and plan and schedule inspections for our staff. And that system is one we put together for multiple jurisdictions. It's something that in our proposal we're issuing that we would be able to and willing to introduce that system for Cedar Hills at no cost during the time of our contract with you. And that will help track and record all the inspections and as well as plan review. And then the other item, I know that you commented that currently you're doing paper reviews. We do paper review as well. Like I said, we have staff out here in the area for Utah County, and they can pick up plans, bring them back to our review staff in Draper, and they can perform the reviews. And again, we have structural engineers, licensed code reviewers, and on the staff to do that. I guess at this time, if you have any questions.
Thank you. So you will not be the contact person for your firm, right? It'll be Mr. Williams, was that correct?
Mr. Williams will be doing most of the contact information. I schedule plan review services, okay. But George would be the one that would be coming down and doing most of the inspections. He would be the primary point of contact, scheduling any information that needed to be done would be done through George.
How long has he been doing this?
George has been, let me double check with his resume. He has been with Kimball for just under a year. Prior to that, he worked for this a different company, and he was the building official, acting building official for Holiday City. He has been doing this since 2005, so
about 10 years.
10 years. Yes. Okay. He's a master code professional, 8-way certified inspector as well.
Very good. Counsel. And Mr. Mock, go right ahead.
Again, on the timeliness of our inspections, how many inspectors do you have available, and how would we expect to schedule inspections and have them filled?
So at the moment we have, let me count them up, we have Doug, Bruce, we have about 6 or 7 inspectors. All of them are 4-way certified. Several of them, like John Saunders, used to be the building official for the city of Ogden. And George has been the building official for the city of Holiday. And any scheduling conflicts would be, we normally do next day. And so they call in, provide an inspection, and we can provide one of our inspectors to perform those inspections on an as-needed basis. If there's need for multiple inspections, we can schedule more than one inspector out to the area.
And for initial plan review turnaround?
We guarantee a 2-week turnaround time for all projects, regardless of their size. A lot of times we'll get things done faster. Residential normally goes a lot quicker. And then all follow-up reviews, deferred submittals, or any other items are within 5 business days.
I think that's all I have.
What other cities do you guys work with in Utah County, and how often are you down here then?
At the moment, we only work with Utah County in this area. We are down here daily. George is right now finishing up his master's degree at the University at BYU, so he's out here quite often in the evenings. And then we have the office in Draper, but in Utah County, it's just Utah County at the moment. Though we do service Heber City, and so that's kind of on the way out here as well.
And are you in Draper or West Jordan?
It is West Jordan, the office. I think it's about 90th South.
Well, no, I was just trying to clarify because you just said Draper, but before you said West Jordan, so I was just
sorry. It's West Jordan. I apologize. West Jordan. It is West Jordan. Yes.
Right. And do you work with cities in Salt Lake County?
Yes, we work with Salt Lake County, Salt Lake City, North Salt Lake City. I guess that's in Davis County. Let's see, who else? West Jordan, West Valley City, South Jordan, West Jordan are some of the people we work with in that area. We also service the state of Utah, DFCM. We do all the structural reviews for them and multiple inspections.
Any other questions? Nope.
I think I'm good.
Nope.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Forsgren, I believe, is up next, please. Forsgren Associates. They are not here. Okay. We are then going to move on to engineering. Mr. Bunker, you wanted to say something?
I was just going to commend the council on the speed at which we've moved through some of these. We've done this very well. I think Forsgren was on the agenda for 7:15, so we might be a little bit ahead of them. When they get here, maybe we could jump back. But if we want to move to the engineering services, the first on the list there would be Bowen and Collins, and I see that they are here. So if they're wanting to come up to the microphone, that'd be great.
We have visual aids.
I swear I'm on Wi-Fi. Screw that. Are you fine?
We appreciate you taking the time to meet with us. We know time is short and maybe a little longer than we expected, but we want to just go ahead and get started. We know that you've seen a lot of with our proposal, so we just want to kind of focus on three key issues to introduce ourselves to you, get a better feel for what we are and who we are. The first key issue I'm going to cover is experience and technical ability. We are Bowen Collins and Associates. We are a small local firm, but our founders have large firm experience. We pride ourselves on providing a customer service client manager for all of our clients. And so for our team today, I want to just introduce ourselves. I'm Tina Campbell. I would be the principal in charge. And my role with the project would be to assemble a team of people per task that you give us to do. I've got Keith Larson here with me. He has been recently working with the city quite a bit. And he would be our project manager. And he is here to make your life easier. So make sure projects go smoothly and successfully. I've got Christina Nielsen here with me. She is our assistant project manager. She brings a lot to the table with having worked with other municipalities similar to you and a lot of good traits and skills there. We have a deep pool of experts that would also be supporting us in the background from Bowen Collins. Our office is in Draper, about 15 minutes away, so we can be very responsive to your needs in a timely manner. One thing that makes us unique is we have in-house services that are a wide variety of technical expertise. We have structural, we have electrical, landscape architecture, we have environmental, civil, water, wastewater, stormwater, and transportation services all in-house. We like to match our experts with our tasks, so you don't have to worry about whether things are getting done right or on time. We're going to have the right people assigned to the right task.
So the second, a little taller here, second key issue that is going to be important as you select an engineering team is to find somebody who has some familiarity with the city. I've been privileged to be involved with the city on a couple of your recent planning projects. I think the last time I was here with this group was when we looked at impact fees, and I helped with the assembly of the capital facilities plans, the most recent capital facilities plans. I think this little graphic is from transportation, but we also looked at sewer, water, and several other city services. As part of that, we looked at a 10-year plan and assembled a list of projects that would be needed to accomplish service to the city, both existing and future residents. And then after that, or in conjunction with that, we've also been involved in your most recent rate studies. And part of that was we would take the list of 10-year plans and turn it into an actual financial plan, including the rates necessary to support that. As a result, I feel like we have a great idea of your vision for the city and where it needs to go and how to get there. In addition to planning, we've also been involved in several projects, probably most notably construction projects, probably most notably the Cottonwood Well, and we're currently involved with the Harvey Well. The importance of that and what that means to you is that we know how you like to produce and execute projects. We know what your staff likes. We know all of Mr. Bunker's little quirks, the required Mountain Dew dispenser in every city facility.
Very good. Yeah.
So,
that's what's in the water, sorry.
Yeah. But in serious, what that means is we can get up to speed quickly, hit the ground running, and can produce projects in a cost-effective and efficient manner.
The third key issue we want to talk about is the independence and perspective we can bring to your engineering services. Bowen Collins has municipal and service district clients throughout the state of Utah. We intentionally do not have developer clientele. That's because we want you to feel confident that we don't have any conflicts of interest. And you know we can maintain our independence. We serve in similar general services capacities from large cities such as Salt Lake City and all the way down to smaller cities such as Wendover. I personally have worked a lot with Salt Lake City and have enjoyed tailoring custom solutions to their specific needs, and I'd look forward to doing the same for you. Why does this all matter for Cedar Hills is through our collective experiences, not just this project team, but our team of experts, we've developed techniques and skill sets and perspectives on the larger city engineering process that we can bring to bear. We can present those to you, the best ideas that we've come across and that we've used, present them to you as options and give you the ability to choose what's best for your city. Whether it's a small look at a little issue over here or whether it's a large road project, we have the independence, perspective, and experience to get it done. We appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you tonight. Thank you for your consideration. We'll open up to your questions.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate the work that you've done for Cedar Hills in the past, and grateful that you're here as well tonight. So, Mr. Bunker, maybe you are the best person to start off.
I got a lot of information out of your proposal, as we did all the proposals, but one of the issues for cities is that we sometimes need information that's very old, that's projects that are gone by, and how do you consider, you know, information that you do for us, work you do for us? Do you consider that proprietary, that we wouldn't have access to that, or how do you consider that? If we called you in 10 years and said, we need this project data, could you provide that for us, and would you provide that for us?
Our history is that we basically the clients owned the product once we prepared it. We do an archiving process after a few years internally, so it might take us a couple days, but we could dig it out and send it off to you, whatever it might be. And I'm sure we have done that in the past with some of the things that we've done, but there's no issue there with us giving that back to you at all.
Any questions from the right side of the table?
I think David's the best one to address this because he deals with it probably more and has more expertise.
Absolutely. Mr. Zappala, Mrs. Reese, any questions?
Nothing I can think of.
When you say that the client owns a product, that means that we get an electronic copy and we can put it on our website and store it locally and all that?
Sure. Yeah, okay. It's a public record. Once we prepared it and made it for you, it's a public record. So you can do whatever you want. If you want to make an airplane out of it, certainly. But yes, we honor that agreement with you to make sure you get the product whenever you
decide.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much for being here.
We are a little bit ahead of schedule. Did anyone from Forsgren Associates show up?
Wait for one more.
Waiting for one. Okay. Anyone from Horrocks? No? JUB? Mustang? Okay. Well, how about if we take a break for about 10 minutes? Okay.
Good idea.
Good. Well, thanks.
To be here. This is kind of the heart of what we'd like to do. I want to introduce a couple of people that I brought with me. This is Gil Anderson. Gil Anderson is here because he would be the primary inspector. We have about a dozen in our building department staff, but he actually lives in American Fork. And that's why we want him here as the lead inspector. He would be the one that you would see virtually all the time unless something happened where he was on vacation or something like that. I've also got with me, somewhere hiding behind me, this is Celeste Sumbat. Celeste has been doing scheduling and counter work in our billing department for about 15 years that we've worked together. And again, she's the other face that if we're fortunate enough to work with the city, or that you'll be seeing a lot of her. She's the one that does the scheduling. She's the one that makes sure that people are where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, that phones are routed in the right direction, that sort of thing. A little bit more about Gil. Gil is about a 35 years, more or less. You can see the white hair. He earned every one of those. Gil was the chief building official for Bluffdale for some time. We've actually worked supporting Bluffdale for about probably 10 or 12 years. Gil also worked for Salt Lake City for a long time, and he moved to Denver. He didn't like it, and we stole him back about a year ago and said, come work for us, and he agreed to do that. Again, he lives in American Fork. He lives just a few minutes down the road, which makes things a little more responsive, a little easier to schedule. A little bit of history. In terms of who we are as a company, we've been working with municipalities in an engineering role for about 50-some-odd years. Most of our client base is municipalities about the size of Cedar Hills. It represents somewhere around 70-80% of our workload. Last year, we did about $18 million in business, so we're comfortable, we're secure, we're solvent. The building department... I had the privilege of starting our building department about 15 years ago. I spent about 20 years in Wyoming running our Wyoming office. And one of the things in Wyoming was that they were very slow to adopt building codes. Many of the communities up there still do not have building code ordinances. And because of the boom-bust cycle of the oil up there, as a structural engineer, I was continually faced with lenders and others that would not loan on buildings or that would inspect buildings and reject them because they didn't meet codes. And the thing that came across to me very strongly is what we build today really does matter tomorrow and how we do it. And so when I moved back to Salt Lake about 15 years ago, that was kind of an interest to me, and we had some clients that had an interest in wanting those services. And so that was the impetus of the building department. Since that time, if you want to hand those out to the council, since that time we've grown that we provide those services to multiple counties, multiple states, multiple cities. Sometimes Thank we you. Run full building departments, such as Holiday or Alta or some of those communities. Sometimes we just provide support services, such as South Salt Lake and communities like that. Other clients, Woods Cross, we run their full building department. West Bountiful hired us not to run their full building department, but because they had a lot of heavy industrial, a lot of very unique construction that they didn't have anybody available that could understand those types of construction. A little bit about our philosophy, about our culture. I've been working with Forsgren and with communities for about 35 years, and my whole career focus has been municipal engineering, and I serve as city engineer for a lot of smaller communities, and I've learned a few things. One is that when we sit, when we sit on your side of the table, it looks a little different than when I stand out here. You get the phone calls in the middle of the night. When we do building departments, you're the ones that get faced with what's normally or could be a confrontational business. When you tell people what they should be doing, how you tell them matters. The kind of diplomacy that you use matters. The demeanor about working with somebody versus dropping the hammer on somebody makes a difference. And that's the phone calls that you get. And that's the phone calls that we don't get unless we get it from the mayor. And that's not a fun phone call to get from the mayor when it happens. So we believe in a lot of things. We believe that daily reporting and responsiveness is important. You have a staff that has to be able to know what the status is at any given time on a project. Consistency. And you say, well, what do we mean by that? What it means is when I bring Gil in here, it means that Gil is the man that would be the chief building official, or he would function in that lead role. It means that we don't bring in six other people and rotate him in and out just because we can, or just because somebody's less expensive for us to do so, because the consistency with the contractors, with the developers, with the builders makes a difference. They need to know what to expect, and they need to make sure that we're not being mom-popped in this kind of business. The experience and the depth matter. You can get building inspectors that have 1 or 2 years experience, and you can get them that maybe have a residential certification. That's not the same as the guy that's been doing it for 30 years. Our electrical, for example, is Bob Fry. Bob Fry ran Salt Lake City's electrical department for many, many, many years. There's nobody better in the valley in terms of understanding how to do particularly commercial electrical and industrial electrical, let alone residential. The 24/7, nobody wants to plan on emergencies, or at least nobody wants to deal with them, but they do occur. Whether it's a drug bust, whether it's a vehicle that runs into a house, whether it's a fire, there are times that the building official serves a role that may not come in normal working hours. We keep our cell phones on 24/7. The idea is you can always get somebody out there in an emergency to evaluate a building, condemn a building, whatever it is that needs to be happening. It's important that we become a seamless extension of your staff. And that sounds trite. You probably have heard that before. Seamless extension of your staff. Our building department and our city engineers do not wear shirts that say Forsgren Associates. They wear shirts that say Town of Alta. They wear shirts that say Holiday City. They wear shirts that say Woods Cross. And the reason is because we're in a role that's a regulatory role. It's important that people don't view us as a third-party outsider that you can jump over their head. It's important that we have that perception and that reality that we become a part of the city in that role. And then, of course, diplomacy, courtesy, those things are just common sense. But again, it is a confrontational business. It does matter how we do things. Should point out that we have about 130 other professionals besides our building department. We have structural engineers, of which I'm one, and we have several others. We have civil engineers. There are things that happen around a building department that may not be front and center, but tend to be more engineering in terms of what the expertise required is. That's available to these guys when and as they need it. Digital filing, paper filing. Right now the city is basically paper-based, and there's nothing wrong with that because you don't have a real high volume of building permits. However, our understanding is that you may use iWorks for public works or other things right now. If that's the case, it's a very simple matter of bringing the building department into iWorks, making everything real-time, making everything web-based. It costs, if you choose to do that, I think it's a couple $1,000 a year for the licensing and maybe $1,000 to set that up. That's your choice. We use iWorks in a lot of cities. We use it in 5 counties in North Dakota right now, as well as we use it in Holiday City here in the Valley, or here in Salt Lake Valley anyway. response time. Our policy and our practice is next day inspections. There's no reason to wait 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. That's, again, one of the reasons that we wanted Gil in this role, because Gil has to pass through here on the way to and from work every day anyway. And so next day inspections is our policy. Plan reviews, he doesn't do all the plan reviews. He does them, but we have many other people that do plan reviews also. So the point is that we don't have a backlog of plan reviews for any of our clients. Normally 5 days would be plenty to get a turnaround time on a plan review, 5 working days. So having said that, that's our spiel. So any questions that the mayor, you, or the council would have, we'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you for being here. And so I'm going to turn time over to Mr. Mogg to open up the questioning.
Probably you've covered most questions I've had previously, but scheduling. How would our scheduling work? Would the citizens and contractors schedule with the city and we'd forward that on to you? Do you have a direct number that we refer them to?
Sometimes cities like to do their own scheduling. But that's your preference. We recent.
We do have go ahead. Hotline. Yeah. That I schedule an inspection. So if you'd like to do that, we can give you that line, that number, and forward that.
Yeah, it would actually be easier for us, Jeff, to do our own scheduling. Okay. Because it's easier to make sure things are coordinated right.
Right.
But it's not necessary. We do maintain a dedicated line that's strictly for scheduling inspections, and that's what her job is in a large extent.
Mr. Geddes, Mr. Gustis, any questions?
Well, I would just say the advantage of going last is you get to answer all the questions, so we don't have to ask as many.
And if you would like some help with the selection, we can do that too.
I'm sure you could. So I guess my question would be kind of back what I asked before to somebody else. As far as coming out and doing inspections, either commercial or residential, you have a dedicated person that does all of the inspections. You're not splitting it out where you have one person that does one inspection, then somebody else that does another inspection, and somebody else that does another one, or how do you guys work that?
No, not generally, and especially given the proximity and the nature of Cedar Hills. Our intention is, we think it's to your advantage as well as to the developers and ourselves, to try and keep a single face there to the extent possible. When I say the extent possible, we understand that sometimes people go on vacation. Training is a big part of, so it's not uncommon for someone to disappear for a few days at a time to do training. You probably have gone through that. And, of course, illness, things like that. But one of the frustrations that we see with small communities is when you start rotating inspectors in and out of the community. It's just, there's no consistency to doing that. We don't do that, and we won't do that.
Okay, thank you.
I think they answered my questions too.
Okay. Mr. Sapala, Mrs. Reese?
I don't have anything, thank you.
Very good. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, Mayor, thank you. Council, thank you very much.
I think our next group up is going to be JUB. I did see some of our friends from JUB out in the audience. Did anyone from Horrocks make it yet? I have not seen Jim. And give us a moment while we wait for JUB to show up. Rocks. Okay. I'd like to come up the podium. Where's my friend Jim?
All right.
Gentlemen, time is yours. You have about 15 minutes.
Well, thank you for having us here. We're pleased to be here. We live here nearby, so we're excited to be to Cedar Hills. I'm Wes Johnson, the principal in charge of this. If we're successful, this is Brent Ventura. He will be the project manager, and Brad Condor, he will be the engineer doing the day-to-day work with Cedar Hills. With that, I'll let Brent say a word.
I guess our task given to us was to kind of highlight some of the things in our proposal in about 3 minutes. So
I'll keep it brief and then let you introduce you to Brad a little bit too. I think the three things I wanted to emphasize most of out of our proposal were our team and our experience and our approach to doing this kind of work. Our team, you can see, is sitting in front of you. We have a building right down the street that's got about 180 employees in it, so we've got a lot of people, a lot of hands-on, a lot of different expertises in the building. But the three that we've selected right here for your services, particularly, we've selected because of their other service and their other experience that they've had. Wes, for instance, is a principal at the firm. He's been at Horrocks for, 22, 23 years? And he's got a big background in construction engineering. He serves as the Midway and the Heber city engineer as well. So he's done a lot of that. And I think Heber, in the meantime, has replaced Wes to some extent with an in-house engineer named Bart Mumford. But Wes still maintains a close relationship with them and does a lot of work with them. I have served as the city engineer for Bluffdale City for 6 to 8 years. Recently, they've gotten an in-house engineer, and we work closely with them as well. And so our team has a lot of this background in city engineering and serving the public and working with the staff. We also worked with many of the local communities, Harriman, American Fork, being their engineer of record as well. Brad, here on my left, has how much time have you served? You've got a career of about 16 years, 14 years, and 6 or 8 of it's been at Horrocks. He served a lot of time as a geotech, which is something else I'd like to point out. At Horrocks, we cover everything in-house. We kind of do everything. We're a full-service firm. The one thing we don't do is geotechnical engineering. And Brad spent the rest of his time being a geotech. We don't really pursue that work at Horrocks, but we have it in-house, and we have that kind of knowledge and expertise as well. Some of the duties that we've done in these types of jobs before is actually acted as staff. We have served as the city engineer, gone to their staff meetings, gone to their public meetings, their night meetings, taken the phone calls at 2 in the morning for emergencies, done everything that we possibly can that a city engineer would do as hired by the city. Experience-wise, that's put us, I think, miles ahead of a lot of people and a lot of teams. 45 years of experience at Horrocks has put us on the map for structures, for civil engineering, for environmental engineering, for all of the different categories that you might have a need in, water, storm drain, sewer. That said, I don't want to take much more time. I'd love to give Brad a couple minutes to talk, but the important thing to us is the way we approach the project and the communication with you and with Dave Bunker, who will be your city manager / city engineer in the PE. The thing that we like to do is keep in contact with those people to work as an extension of the staff and to be there when they are needed. I think that the most important thing for us is to understand that the best civil engineering solution a lot of times is an engineering solution that is good, that meets the needs of what we've understood from staff. And so that said, we would like to let you ask more of the questions than present to you what we want to tell you. I think we'd rather hear what your concerns are and your comments and be able to address those. So, Brad, if you want to take a minute.
My name is Brad Conner. I think one of the things that we've enjoyed, we've actually worked with Dave Bunker. He came from Horrocks several years ago. I actually worked with Wes up in Heber. So I think we've got a good relationship with Dave and with other members of the city on some of the projects that we've worked on. And we've certainly appreciated that relationship like we have with other cities we work with. Some of our clients we've had for 20, I think American Fork is almost 30 years. So we've got long-standing relationships with a lot of local municipalities. And I think that kind of shows the ethical and the kind of relationship we have with our clients. I think one of the areas that I want to talk about is just our ability to adapt to whatever, you know, the city's needs are. You know, one of our clients last year, I think Wes said we billed 6 hours. That was the extent of the work they needed from us, and that was great. Other clients, we there almost full time. So we're able to adapt to the needs of the city. And our communication with the city is what kind of facilitates how we can help you. And I think we're very good at facilitating. I can be that point of contact. You know, we can kind of work that out with the city, or we can work with Wes or Brent. But we can set up that one point of contact. So if you have a question, if you have a problem, you come to one person. You know, makes that communication very easy, and then we can meet your needs, work together to get the project finished. So I think with that said, we'll open up to any questions you may have for us.
Thank you for being here. Mr. Bunker, you want to ask some questions?
Yeah, this is a question that we've asked to the other group that presented, but could you address the proprietary nature of the work you do for the city? If you are on a project for us, say in 10 years we need that information again, do we have access to that? Is there, you know, do you control that, or do you give that to the city so that we can have access to that?
I can answer that with each project that we completed, we'll provide that project to you. in whatever software format you use, AutoCAD, MicroStation. The stamp is a little bit proprietary, but the data, the plans, you become the owner of there. We figure those are your plans.
And we can print hard copies soft electronically, whatever. We also back up things, so we've got two copies all the time at Orox in case something is needed retrieved from the archive.
Great. Can you just address your clientele? You know, do you work for development? Do you do mostly cities, that kind of thing?
If we are selected to Cedar Hills, we will make a commitment to you, whether that be verbal or contract. We will not work for a developer in this community. We have made our living from working with municipal engineering. I, for example, work out of the Heber office. We're the Heber Camus Francis Charleston engineer, and we have a commitment. If you see us, you know we're either representing you or another community. We will not be representing a developer.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Zappala?
I don't have any questions.
Mrs. Reese?
I don't have any, thank you.
On my right side, Mr. Augustus?
You actually just addressed my question. I wanted to know how you guys deal with developers and that relationship, so that was very good.
We feel it's important to have, early on in my career, we were working in a community where the engineer was representing the community and the developer. You always wondered, what's that water line really for? You'll never wonder that with Orox. It's for this community.
So if a developer came in and said, we've got this development that we're putting in Cedar Hills, we want you guys to represent us, do you guys just say, nope, we're good, thank you? Okay.
And that happens as a compliment to us quite frequently. We tell them, no, it's a conflict of interest. We can't submit your plans and then stand back and review them in the best interest of Cedar Hills.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Geddes?
No, I answered my question.
Mr. Crowley, I know you're just getting here.
No.
All right. Thank you so much for being here, gentlemen.
Again, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. I look forward, if you have any questions, please feel free to contact
me. We will do. You're welcome to stick around. I would anticipate maybe we will make a motion on awarding a contract to various professional services tonight. Anyone from Mustang show up, by the way?
Yeah, we have people from JUB and Hall. David Munkoop from JUB.
Okay. Mark? Okay. The time is yours.
All right. Thank you. My name is Mark Christensen. I'm with JUB Engineers. Michael Clark, also with JUB. You've read the statement of qualifications, I assume. I want to tell you a little bit about us. I'm from Richfield, Utah. Came to BYU and got a degree and liked Utah Valley, and I've been here since. I was originally hired by Perkins Thurgood Consulting Engineers, who in the mid-90s was purchased by JUB. So this is my first job, out of college. JUB is an employee-owned company, been around for over 60 years. We value long-term relationships with our employees and with our clients. Our niche is super pleasing clients. We want to have a long-term relationship with Cedar Hills. I've been with JUB for 23 years, or Perkins Thurgood, and I expect to be around for, I don't know, another 15 or 20. So with JUB, you can expect some consistency, some longevity. Been doing municipal engineering my entire career. We're the city engineers for Linden City, have been for over 30 years. And what you hopefully would find with us is that we aren't going after the projects. We're going after client relationships. We want to become a trusted advisor to you. And that's our approach. We believe that as city officials, engineers, we are stewards of public trust, and we have to be open with the public. We have to do what's in their interest. And our goal is to help you succeed. We believe that we provide excellent value. Any questions that I've prompted?
Mike, do you have anything that you want to add?
Tell them a little about yourself.
I grew up in Spanish Fork and was a Large Works intern, engineering intern there for a couple of years while I went to school. And I lived in Boise for my first job. And now I've moved back and I've been here for a little while. And I just do all his tasks. Basically a lower billing rate so I get a better value, I guess. But then it's tasks because I'm well qualified to do, and then he checks my work. And yeah.
Okay.
And let me add one thing before I let you ask the question. JUB is a full-service engineering firm. We can provide experts at nearly any project you would need, and we'll also have a local presence. Our experts aren't going to all be in the ORM office. But they're also probably not going to be subcontractors for the most part or subconsultants. So, okay. You got a question?
Thank you for your willingness to come and talk to us this evening.
Our pleasure.
And Mark, you would be our contact person, right?
Yes.
Excellent. Mr. Bunker, you want to ask some questions?
Yeah, this is a couple of questions that we asked earlier to some of the other groups, but could you address the work product that you produce for the city, if that's proprietary in nature, or if the city would have access to that, to those documents long term, and in what format?
You'd have access to the documents long term. I don't know that I would call it proprietary as much as I would call it custom to a project. For instance, we wouldn't want you to take a lift station design that we did and reuse it somewhere else. But, you know, standard drawings, standard specs, we would expect those to be on your website. And if you wanted, we can give you electronic files of those. We want to do what'll help you succeed.
That's great. Can you explain some of your clientele? Do you mostly work for cities, developers, you know, kind of
good question.
Explain your clientele a little bit.
In Utah Valley, we work, I can't think of a developer that we worked for or have for a number of years. We will not work for a developer in Cedar Hills. We can't both prepare the plans and review the plans. We have often turned down requests to do that kind of thing in Linden, and we will just work for the city. Most of our work is municipal. We do UDOT work a lot as well.
Mrs. Reese?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Zappala?
No questions.
Mr. Call?
No questions.
Mr. Geddes?
No, thanks for...
Mr. Festus?
No, your last statement answered my question, so thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, it's been a pleasure.
Are our friends from Mustang here?
I'm Mark Johnson, and I'm here. However, my engineer is going around the roundabout. For some reason, he can't find this building.
Is that him that's walking in?
That's him.
Okay.
But I wanted to introduce him as well. And so,
Jared, yes. Do you want to walk up here?
Sure. I appreciate the opportunity to come up in front of each of you and I've had this opportunity before, and it was a very good experience. So I especially am grateful for the opportunity to introduce and talk a little bit more about Mustang Design. Mustang Design is a small company. It was formulated fairly recently. And many, many years ago, I was told by an individual something that I'll never forget. He said, if you want to be successful in business, you only have to do one of two things. He said, you either have to do things better than everybody else, or you have to do things cheaper than everybody else. And that's kind of resonated through my mind through a lot of the years. And I've worked for consulting firms, and I've been in the engineering-related field for over 35 years. And I've often thought, I know what to do in this business to be cheaper than everybody else, and I know what you might have to do to be better. But is there any combination that you could bring those two things together? And that's what I've attempted to do when I started Mustang Design. We're a small company with consultants that we work closely together, and some of the best consultants. This is a small community, the engineering community, and a lot of us know each other. And through the years, I've gotten to know some very good, very capable consultants that run their own firms, their own small firms, and they have chosen to team up with me on projects. They've chosen to team up with me in this proposal to be a consultant to Cedar Hills. Being new and being the type of group we are, however, does not mean that we're inexperienced. In fact, it means quite the opposite of that. I mentioned I have 35 years, 20 years in the consulting-related business, and also engineering, both structural and civil fields. Jared here is my engineer, and he has over 9 years working in municipal engineering. He's done plan reviews and master planning, water modeling for a number of cities and some local here, and I'm very happy to have him joining with me in this. I have an individual named Mike Echevarria, who has done a lot of work for Cedar Hills in the past, I understand. He has 43 years experience in special projects. He's our utilities expert, he's our water expert, does a lot with pump houses. There's few people I've known in my career that have as much experience with him on the ground. So not only in design, but also in budgetary things, and also actual construction management. Ryan Hales has 19 years with Hales Engineering, and most people that are in this field know him and recognize him as being one of the foremost traffic engineers in the business. He does very well at what he does, and has been hired by a number of municipalities and the state agencies as well, and this was in our proposal. I have a surveyor, Dan Nolden Jr., who has worked for 14 years, and he has signed up also, and he does my surveying, and his has a lot of experience with right-of-way analysis, and so he would be very effective in doing things, I think, for the city. Scott Blake, 30 years. He's our landscape architect. Been around an awful long time, done things for both for federal, state, county, municipal agencies. We feel in order to be to serve the city in the most effective manner, we need to not only produce quality, experienced work, we need to also provide a fair price. And I think my rate schedule does that. This was the hard thing to do, but the only way I could get our rates down to where we felt was fair to the city and fair to us was do it in a manner to bring these consultants in, and everybody has agreed to those rates. So we're happy to offer those. One thing I'd like to make clear is we do not charge a lot of additional fees with ours. It's all included in the hourly rates. You won't be charged for paper clips. You won't be charged for printing. You won't be charged for those items. There are some larger things, like, for instance, a traffic counter. If there's a specific device that has to be rented, that those may be attached to the bill. But you're not going to see a lot of the extra costs. They are going to be inside the fee schedule as listed and provided to you guys. We feel that we have enough experience as a team to provide the services that the city needs, and we can do it in a very professional and very efficient manner, and we hope to also do it in a very very expedient manner. We are I have a client that does, I do development work. I would not do any in this city. The development client that is my primary client does senior homes and senior communities across the Wasatch Front, but there would not be one in this city. And I bring that to your attention, that you know I am involved in that business, but I would not do any here. With that being said, I'm open to any questions you have.
Jared, is there anything that you'd like to add?
I think working in the various communities that we've worked with over the years, it's important to understand what the needs of the community are. Needs vary from city to city, city to town, and it's important for us to become familiar with the staff, with the council, understand what you're looking for, so that as we provide design, as we provide consulting services, we're providing these in line with what you guys are looking for. And we're familiar with how to do that with other cities, and we're excited to work with you guys and do the same thing.
Thank you. Mr. Bunker, you want to ask any questions?
I think Mr. Johnson addressed one of those issues that we asked previously, but about the proprietary nature of your work. Is the city going to own that material? Do we have access to it? Can we use it years down the road, or at least have copies of it years down the road when we're saying, hey, what did we do on this project?
My clients own their work. They've paid for it. If requested, you can have anything that I produce for you, either in CAD or PDF format, or in the Word files, whatever is appropriate and what you feel you need.
Great. Mrs. Reese?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Cipolla? Mr. Augustus?
So with you guys being a smaller company, what have you found as kind of the stumbling blocks working with smaller cities and what their needs have been, and how have you been able to address those?
Most of the city work that I have done has been on a case-by-case basis. It's not been as their engineer of record. I haven't even considered putting in as an engineer of record for larger companies because of the nature of business, but a smaller city like this one, I certainly can. I've done a number of projects fairly recently. Worked for Springville. I just did the roundabout on 4th South. I was involved in that. And we've done a few other things. I've had some cities call me, just ask me for consulting information, mainly on traffic and intersection design. When those issues, I feel I need more information, that's when I bring Ryan in, and I suggest that they hire him to do a study at the intersection.
Thank you.
Mr. Geddes?
Oh, thank you. I'm familiar with Clark. So. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mr. Crawley? Okay. Thank you very much for
your
time.
Thank you.
So here's the format for moving forward, which is that we've heard from all of the audit services companies, all of the building plan inspection companies, all of the engineering services companies. So we're just going to take it in that order. Start with audit services. So council, I think that you've received complete packets with all the information on each of the companies. You've heard a presentation by each of the companies. And staff has made rankings on each of the companies within audit services. So hopefully everyone's had a chance to ask all the questions. I will take a motion from a council member on one of the audit services companies that they'd like. If it is seconded, or if multiple companies are motioned and seconded, then you'll have the ability to ask more questions to those companies. At any rate, you still will have the opportunity to ask more questions after motion has been seconded before we take a vote on it. So someone is ready and would like to make a motion on audit services, then I will take that now.
Can I ask a question first? Just of our staff, based on what you've heard today, do you have a recommendation? Does it change based on what we've talked about earlier?
I'll talk to the engineering one real quick, and maybe the others can talk to their areas. The engineering grouping was so tight. We have excellent firms. I'm familiar with all of the firms, and it's very difficult sometimes to separate the strengths from the different firms. There, I think every firm that you interviewed tonight is a quality firm and would do a good job for the city, but I think the rankings that I had would stay the same.
Okay. Mr. Mogg, has there been any change in your analysis rankings?
I'm very comfortable with the presentations that have been given tonight. I think any one of them would serve the community well. Obviously, any one of them is going to create changes within our building department and how we've provided services to the citizens, but I think that all of them are workable. Most of them, I do believe they'll end up providing increase in service than what we've been able to do in the past. So,
okay. No, thank you. Typical. Mr. Lowe, are you still here? Are you, any changes in your thoughts and in your rankings?
No, each of these firms are actually going to save the city quite a bit of money. But as far, I mean, the scores were pretty tight, and they're all excellent partners. But I can only take what I've known from looking at the proposal, how detailed one proposal stood out a little more to me, and also just my experience with them is a given, it's a known, and that's why they get the edge, is because it's what I know, it's not just what they said. So,
okay. Thank you. I just want to let you all know that the staff probably works more closely with each of you and would work more closely with each of you than the council or the mayor would. And so I was really impressed with staff's analysis, their ranking. It wasn't an emotional, you know, type of, I like this group, you know, and I know this group. It was really based on statistical information that was helpful in terms of how they analyzed it, but also gives us some insight into your companies. And so the presentations are helpful. The questions we ask you guys are helpful. Their analysis, their pre-analysis is helpful as well. And so let's start with audit services. So someone like to make a motion on audit services now? I will take that.
Actually, I'd just like to make a comment before we do that, okay. If that's all right. I've said this before in other meetings, and one of the best things you guys can do is make my job as difficult as possible, and tonight every single one of you have done that. So I just wanted to say thank you. I'm a general contractor, so I go out and make proposals myself, talk to homeowners quite often, and it's hard because you put a lot of time and effort into it. It does become personal because you invest a lot of time, a lot of effort, and things like that. So to come here and spend your time away from your family, kids, things that you've got going on, I just wanted to say thank you because I know that it does take a tax on being able to do stuff like this. So just a quick thank you for doing that.
Okay. All right. Anybody ready to make a motion?
Is this audit service that we're doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll make a motion.
Go ahead.
Let me find my motion document here. So I'd like to move that we authorize the mayor to sign a contract for financial audit services with Keddington and Christensen.
Keddington? Okay. Any other? Is there a second? Okay. Any other motions?
I'll second it.
Motion has been seconded. Any further discussion?
Since I wasn't here, I'd just like to find out why you would choose them. I have not heard them present before, so I'm curious.
So my reasoning is that they do a lot of auditing with governments. It's 90% of what they do. It's mostly what they do. They do a number of cities nearby. They have experience doing CAFRs with 8 of these different cities. They're familiar with our accounting software that we use. So those were some of the things that I noticed from their presentation.
Okay. Any other motions? Not. Any other discussion? Okay. Then we have a motion to have the mayor enter into a contract, but we need to take a vote on this. and it will be a roll call vote. So, Mr. Crawley.
Can I vote last?
What's that?
Can I vote last since I'm still kind of... never mind, I'll vote. I'm going to say yay.
Yay?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Geddes?
Nay.
Mr. Augustus?
Nay.
Mr. Zappala?
Aye.
Mrs. Reese?
Aye.
So there was four yays, correct? Or were you a nay?
I was a yay.
You were a yay. Mr. Geddes, I think you said a yay.
Nay.
You said a nay. Sorry about that. I thought it was a yay.
Nay.
Still, there are three ayes. There are two nays. Keddington wins. So, congratulations. Let's move on now to building inspection. And, okay, so three companies, Sunrise, Kimball, and Forsgren. And so we've had presentations, asked questions. Someone is ready to make a motion on this. I will take that.
I'll make that motion. Let me find it real quick.
Okay. Go ahead.
I got it there. I make a motion to award a professional services contract for building inspections and plan review services to Sunrise Engineering and authorize the mayor to execute said contract.
And I'll second.
That was Sunrise Engineering, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. So, motion has been seconded. Any further discussion? Okay, we'll have a roll call vote as well. Starting from my left, Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Mr. Augustus.
Aye.
Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Motion is unanimous. Congratulations and thank you very much. Next is engineering services. Four companies are Bowen Collins, Horrocks, JUB, and Mustang. So again, you've had the opportunity to read analysis, see rankings, hear a presentation, and ask questions. So I'll take a motion now.
I'd like to make a motion. I would motion to award a professional services contract for general engineering services to Bowen and Collins and authorize the mayor to execute contract.
I can second that motion.
Okay, motion has been seconded. Any further discussion? We'll also have a roll call vote. Starting from my right, Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Mr. Augustus.
Aye.
Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Motion is unanimous. Congratulations and thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the majority. We're not done, but those of you that were here to for the RFQ process, thank you for participating. Thank you for being here. And we will continue with our meeting. We have a little bit more work to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So. They're fine. Okay. Move on to our last item of the night, which is a review action item on authorizing a structure lease agreement with Vivint Wireless to include providing internet services. Mr. Goodwin.
All right, so let me give you a little bit of background on what we've got going on. Currently, the city has internet provided to the city at all city locations, this building, and as well as our main city offices. It's provided by Digis. They have equipment located at two locations up on our hill, up at our north water tank up here on the hill. It's hard to see, but you probably can't see right now. And then at our south water tank. Digis bought out RapidWave a couple of years ago, and as part of that, our agreement with RapidWave expired. So we've been working on an agreement with Digis for quite some time, and we have not executed an agreement with Digis, so it's still there's no contractual obligation there. In the meantime, Vivint Wireless approached the city about locating equipment on this building. They wanted to locate and provide service out west to the valley out there. And so we've worked with them on where their equipment would be located, what equipment would be on the roof itself, and what the city would need to provide. So the city would need to provide power to their
to their equipment, which would be pretty nominal in terms of the amount of power that this building goes through throughout the month. So we worked on an agreement with Vivint, which was in your packet. I hope you had the time to review that. But the agreement would allow them to provide internet service to all city locations. Now, currently, our agreement with Digis, they provide internet service to all locations, and they pay the city $250 rent, basically, for each location. So the city has two locations that they use, so we get $500 a month rent. That would still be happening going forward. We'd probably adjust the rent based on what happens with Vivint agreement, but that is currently what the terms of our agreement with Digis. There's currently in the Vivint agreement, there is no rent outlined. So that's something that we wanted to discuss with the city council. The only thing that they are providing is no-cost wireless service. So we've looked into our wireless service on a number of occasions because you may have heard that we've had issues with uploading backups of our server online. They've fixed their problems in our building, but Vivint has promised us, not promised, but their base service is 50 megabytes download, 50 megabytes upload speeds, which would be enough to allow us to upload a YouTube video from our city, which we currently cannot do, or we couldn't do, and also to back up our servers, which is important for finance documentation and as well as any other documentation the city may have. So this is the contract. We have had it reviewed by Eric, whose only concern was that if there were any exclusivity clauses in there, which there are not, they've been removed. So if Vivint were to locate on our building, that's not to prevent the city from having another internet service provider locate on this building. So with that being said, are there any questions on the agreement or what the terms are?
Can I pick on Greg for a minute?
Please do.
I see in the note to council that recreation staff is concerned with the placement on the rooftop, so I'd just like to understand his concerns and
I can cover that if you want.
Yeah, because I don't know where we're at.
Okay. So to get – part of the issue is if they located in equipment on our roof in this building, how do they provide service to that building over there? They need a clear shot in order to send a signal. So originally they had talked about placing equipment next to this chimney up here, and because that was about the only way you could get a clear shot to that building based on the elevations. There's just not a clear signal. So that wasn't going to work because it's just too visible. One thing that we've emphasized with Vivint is that this building needs to stay very nice aesthetically looking. We use it as a reception center. Weddings come here. We have to have this equipment be hidden if it's up here. So they found another solution to send a signal to our other building from those blue silos down in Pleasant Grove. So that resolved that concern. So what you have right now is on top of this roof, kind of right above this beam, there's about a 5-foot wall. What they're proposing to do is to mount poles. There's going to be 6 poles. On 4 of the poles, they have about a foot dish that's going to be placed on them. And then the other 2 poles, there's a 1 2-foot dish. So there's a total of, 8 dishes? 8 dishes. 6 of them are 1 foot in diameter. The other 2 are 2 feet.
It's 8 1-footers.
8 1-footers and 2 2-footers. Thank you. So we are still concerned about the visibility. My personal preference is when I went up there on the roof with them, I would rather have seen that equipment be placed closer over to the pro shop, where if there is a wedding, if there is something going on, you can't see it from the gazebo. So if you look up, you couldn't look up and see little dishes. That was our preference. I don't know how much that inhibits them. I don't know what that causes or prevents them as far as the signal is concerned. But keeping the aesthetics of this building looking nice is a priority of staff, and I know it's a priority of the council as well.
Okay.
I was just going to say, so help me understand then, how visible would they be from the parking lot,
From the parking lot, they wouldn't be visible at all.
Just from the gazebos?
It's really just from the gazebos, and if for someone with a real keen eye, they may be able to see it down on Alpine Highway, just little itty-bitty dishes. But at that point, I don't know that it's a huge concern, because you'd still be able to see it over here. It's really when they're out on this lawn area on the southwest corner, can they look up and can they see our equipment? We want to prevent that. So if that means that we need to find a way to scoot it back to keep that that eyesight, to so that it prevents being able to see that equipment, whatever measures there are necessary, whatever measures need to be taken, we need to go that route.
So I like the idea of you guys getting faster speed, better technology, but it doesn't sound as if you guys have narrowed down exactly where these dishes are going to be, because we've talked about them going over here, but then you say you would prefer that they be over by the pro shop area. So are you wanting us to approve an action item when the location hasn't been nailed down?
Yeah, I think yes, and here's why. Because as long as we know your preferences on what are the priorities of the building, can you see it, how much can you see, how much is tolerable there, we'll be able to execute the agreement, and I think to your satisfaction.
Chandler, so is it a matter of they need to kind of be up there so that you can look at it, so you could move them around? Is that what you're asking for, just some flexibility so that...
Well, I think what we're asking for is grant the staff the latitude to approve where they are based on your preferences. I think that your concerns are the same concerns that we have. I think that we share those. So anything that we see from the grass is going to be a problem for you and for us. So that's why we want to move them. If it's visible from where you pick up your cart for the golf, I don't think that's an issue. But if it's visible for the whole family when they turn around and take a wedding photo, that's a problem. So if there's other things, if there's a rent that you feel like needs to be paid to the city, these are the things that I think we need to hash out right now with the city council and the mayor.
Can you tell me again how fast the connection is supposed to be?
50 up, 50 down.
And are they guaranteeing that?
They can't guarantee it, but that's what their advertised speeds are.
Because I have never seen anybody have the same up and down speed. Do you know, Daniel, is that even possible?
I thought that was...
It's unusual.
It's unusual, but here's something that's also unusual is when Vivint approached us, we were having some real serious issues with our Digis connection. I've been running Ookla speed tests periodically over the last 2 years, and we're typically getting about, I want to say, 6 down, 1 up. It's not enough to do just about anything. When we told Digis that we were talking to Vivint, they came out 2 hours later and upgraded our equipment. Now at this building, our upload is, I tested it right before this meeting, our upload is twice as fast as the download, which is strange. But upload speed really is important to the city just for the purpose of backing up and loading on the internet. So I was skeptical myself, but I think that that's something that they can deliver on.
Well, and my concern with Digis is if you're talking 6 megs, that's maybe appropriate for a single house.
Right.
Not,
mm-hmm. not for a building with 20-plus computers using the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And this is why we've had issues. One other problem that we've had is with Digis, we're on a dynamic IP. So anytime that changes, it shuts down the systems over here, the phones, the internet, everything just goes dark.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that means we have to call DAX, we have to call WASITech and get them online to get the IP addresses back up.
And they won't give us a fix?
Well, they will once we talk to them after that meeting, but even then, it went down the next day. So we have concerns. Digis has been good to work with the last week, but there was a run-up that it was very difficult.
Yeah, so here's my concern. Is the contract right now is really slanted towards Vivint.
Yeah.
Has all kinds of protection in there for them. It automatically renews for them. And then when it comes to us, all it says is, in lieu of monthly payments, internet services will be provided. And it doesn't even specify what
it is, how many connections,
we talked to them about that.
It is, if there's a bandwidth cap, if there's a download cap per month, if it's upload and download, if they're going to guarantee us some minimum speed, if they can't guarantee 50, can they guarantee us 10, 30?
I'd really like to see more specification in the contract as to what they're actually going to provide us, not just a vague, we'll connect you to the internet. I could do that at
We asked them if they could add in language about what speeds they're promising, and they won't. Digis won't even do that either. So it's not unique to Vivint. Digis's agreement doesn't outline that.
They can at least say up to 50 megabits per second, which gives them all the wiggle room.
But that still lets them to.
But at least it lets us specify an expectation in the contract that it's not one. We're expecting something close to 50.
So I just ran a test. I got 3.4 down and 6.4 up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go figure.
My internet's been really spotty, and I think that might have a lot to do with the weather.
If I sign up with Comcast, they tell me a speed tier that I'm in, and then they try to meet that. They're not going to promise it, but they're going to try to meet that. So I'm sure they could put appropriate language in there to specify the connection speed.
And Vivint, just so you know, when we had these discussions with them, they advertised the 50 down and 50 up, and they're telling us your downloads are going to be more than 50 most of the time.
Sure.
But they don't want to put that in writing as a guarantee, but we could put something in there, some language that says the expectation for city services are 50 meg down, 50 meg up.
Yeah. And is that per building? In other words, is that 50 megabits shared by both buildings, or is it separate?
Separate. Now, this building would be fed. This building would be, right now we're on the shared network, so this building would actually get direct feed from that equipment. So
that's great.
This building would have just an amazing internet connection. The other building would, like I said, be bounced off a silo that's down in Pleasant Grove, so it would have a unique connection separate from this one. So it is separate.
So here's some of my other concerns. Section 3A talks about the term, and it says that it will automatically renew unless the tenant notifies the landlord that they don't want to do it. Doesn't have anything in there for us to say we choose not to renew because we decide to go with someone else. Maybe someone else comes along with a gigabit per second and we want to wire up with them instead. So I'd like to give the city a clause that says every 4 years we can also choose to opt out.
Yeah, because we need protection on our side too.
Yeah.
We did talk to him about that, and I think that that's something that they still need to add in. So, yeah.
The other things I've got. This is a minor thing, but also in 3A, it says that the initial term will terminate on the fifth anniversary of the effective date. The way I compute anniversaries is that on the starting date, the first anniversary is a year out.
Okay, so this might come back from the original iteration of the contract to add 5 years. So that could be a reflection of that.
That should probably say
we had them change it to 4 years so that if there was changeover in the council and they felt differently, then it would more fall in line with council elections so that each council could, come to terms with that agreement.
Okay,
so that's probably just a language that needs to be fixed from the last agreement.
7D, this is the section talking about interference from other sources, which I totally get why all this is in there. But 7D says interference may include, but is not limited to, any use on the property or surrounding property. So are they saying that if somebody decides to come and use the cellular antenna and 5 years from now cellular standards change and they're using some frequency that interferes, that now we are legally bound by this contract to make sure that whoever uses that cellular antenna doesn't interfere with them? That's surrounding property.
We had concerns about the same clause, and we got some clarification on that. Currently there are no signals being emitted that interfere with them, so that's not a concern. B, their signals are proprietary, so there should not ever be somebody that comes along and says that jumps on their signal with that being concerned.
So it shouldn't be a concern, but I see where
you're coming from. And
surrounding property is not defined as to what that means.
But see, I'm going to agree with you on that because surrounding property to me is non-city-owned property. That's property around us, and we can't control what a resident or anybody else does.
Right.
And that surrounding property terminology, I think, is
so I would just say any use on the property or with city equipment.
Okay.
So you want to
take strike out surrounding property.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. We'll talk to them about that.
The other things I have, I was looking for that they're going to put it back if they decide to remove their equipment, put it back as reasonably as possible to original condition, which they do have. But it doesn't say anything about
I couldn't see anything about damage to the property, like if they are installing.
Yeah, so here's our damage. Concern. Because we didn't want them to go up there and leave traces, leave no trace type of theory. The equipment is, when we discussed this with them, their equipment's supposed to sit on a sled being anchored by sandbags or cinder blocks, something like if you were to go up there right now, there's a satellite dish feeding the TVs here. It sits on a sled and there's cinder blocks on it that hold it in place in crazy windstorms like tonight. They've said that their equipment will be very similar where it's not anchored. However, their designs right now show the poles being anchored into the walls. So we're not in favor of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that goes against what we had talked about. So we want them to change that. That's another thing that staff, I think, and the council were on the same page.
So okay. That's kind of where I was going to address some questions. So I'll address those Good. Once we get done with that.
Thank you. They say that they, in section 16, that if there is some kind of casualty, you know, I would imagine a fire or a windstorm, somehow the building is damaged, we have 40 hours to notify them. I'm thinking, that's really hard to hold us to that. What if there's an earthquake? And it might be a week or more before we get around saying, oh, yeah, there's an internet connection that's out. We might be much more concerned about other things. So I'm worried about that 48-hour provision in there.
Should we just add that sentence, if communication methods are available or something to that?
Yeah, something
if
where,
we can, we
if
will.
Reasonably possible, we'll yep. notify you within 48 hours would be more appropriate there.
And something also, if they have damage to their equipment and are unable to provide service or something, we should probably know about it also.
Yes.
So it goes both ways.
Fortunately, we never have any high windstorms in the area.
Oh, no, not at all.
Like today?
And if, earlier when I was talking about specifying the internet speed, that ought to be one of the reasons why I want us to be sure that we're renegotiating this every 4 years is internet speeds tend to increase
yeah.
every 4 or 5 years. And so we'd want to be sure to make sure if they have better services available, they're getting that. So maybe when we talk about internet services, that should be specified. And then I'm going to give you just a very, very small thing, but it's important to me because of who I am, that in section 4, when they say internet services, internet is capitalized as a proper noun.
On section 4?
Yes.
Anything else?
That's all I have. And Trent probably
Mr.
has Dessish,
some stuff yeah.
about I'm glad I'm not the only one that looks at little weird things like that. So I've got my own little weird things, though. So going back to the equipment, I noticed in their contract, I think it was in Section 1, lease of premises, they say approximately 200 square feet, including the airspace above. 200 square feet is roughly two sections of roof tile that sits above us right now. That is a lot of space on that roof.
Talked about that as well.
So what equipment are they putting up there? Because right now their drawings show 10 level antennas and a junction box that's approximately 4 feet tall and maybe 2 feet wide, which should take up all of maybe 30 square feet.
Maybe.
So what are they doing?
I'm not as concerned about the airspace above because I don't really know what we would
no,
do.
No, I could care less about the airspace. I'm talking about footprint.
That's not a concern. I'm not going to address it. But the 200 square feet, we talked to them about this as well. And I really think that this we're taking all this language from a standard agreement that they have, and they're applying to the city. So then the agreement that you've seen has gone through an iteration with Mr. Johnson and with staff. And I think that this is just still language that comes from any original base agreement that they make with cities, with anybody.
Right.
Because you look at it, that they do have just a couple small poles that aren't really wide in diameter, and they have a cabinet housing their equipment. And that cabinet, it looks like it's 4 feet tall, 2 feet wide, 2x2, a little over that. So it's not big. Now, the 200 square feet gives them the opportunity to put more equipment up there on the roof if they need to. Now, that's not something that they can just go up and do on their own. We've been very clear with them that access to the roof will come through staff. If you need to get up on the roof, we will help you. And that any changes to the equipment need to come through staff.
So we need to see that in the contract then.
I believe it is. It should be. We've talked about that with them. So I'll go through and make sure that that is.
I mean, because it talks about construction, maintenance, operation, replacement, and upgrade of wireless communication fixtures, suitable supports, things like that, but I don't necessarily see it described as you just laid out, and yeah. I would like something that's a little more defined, because even if staff's not here, they could show up on Saturday and go, hey, we're going to put a boom lift up here, and we're going to jump on your roof, and we don't need access to the inside.
They could, and they've said, like, in the middle of the night, we could just put a, because if something goes down in the middle of the night, they don't want it. If there's a wedding going on, we don't want them coming through here, so they would have to access it from a ladder on the outside.
Right.
But once again, staff needs to be involved in any equipment that goes up there. Anything, any changes need to be.
So I think we need staff. To spell that out somehow in the contract.
I
so
thought
that
it was.
We protect ourselves.
I'll go look at it again and make sure that's in there.
And I agree that square footage probably should be more in the neighborhood of 100 or 50 to 100 or something like that, because 200 square feet
is big.
It's pretty
a
big.
Lot
10
of
by
area.
20, that's a big area.
Well, especially since we have two fairly good sized air conditioners that sit directly above this, 200 square feet around that area is quite a bit. It
takes up a lot of room space. So.
So looking at the drawings also, and that's actually one thing I'd noticed also, Jeff, so thank you. Is our wall up there, is it 4 feet or is it 5 feet?
It's 5 feet, it says on the plans, but well, how tall is that wall, Jeff?
I think it's 15 inches, 4.5.
That's what I was saying, I didn't think it was quite 5, but their poles are showing 8 feet, and you're not going to put the pole right on the roof deck, so you're probably going to be a foot up from that, which means we're going to be 9 feet off the ground.
I think the way they show it
off the roof
is four. It's 8 feet, like you're saying. 4 feet would be anchored to the parapet wall, mm-hmm. So 4 foot anchored in, with 4 foot above the parapet.
But that's what I'm saying. That's if it's right on top of the roof, you're probably going to be a foot above that, which means we've got 5 feet exposed above the top of our roof.
And so I think staff's recommendation is we don't allow them to even anchor anything into the parapet wall, that we make them put it on a skid.
Put it on a skid and then on the other end of the room.
Wall, so not permanently anchored in.
Yeah. Right. I'm just saying if they're going up 5 feet above that wall, whether it's on a skid or not, I mean, that's extremely visible from this side. And that's one of the concerns
well,
I know you addressed also.
Exactly. So if it's on skids, then let's take it to the other end.
So right.
Get over by the pro shop where mm-hmm. it can be a little bit more visible, but it probably
right.
won't be even.
So then my other quasi-question problem, that equipment box that they've got up there that's 2x2x4 feet tall, that's going to provide some good wind resistance. And let's say that they, for whatever reason, fluke things happen, they don't have enough sandbags or enough cinder blocks on it, and that equipment tips over, punches a hole in our roof. 3 months later, we realize we've got water coming through the roof. We need to have some clause in there that if anything happens, there's damage. Anything leaks, causes any problems, tips over, I mean, anything like that, any damage to our property is completely borne by them, and they probably need to carry some type of liability insurance to protect our facility also.
Okay.
Because we don't want that hitting our insurance.
Any other questions?
I don't think so. I think that addressed.
Mr. Geddes? Mr. Crawley?
Actually, just one quick question. Okay.
Mr. Crawley, were you saying?
It says the city has charged $250 per site to other service providers in addition to the no-cost wireless. We have charged? Does that mean to say we have been charged?
No, we've charged them. Like, we've invoiced.
To have their equipment.
We will invoice Digis for their equipment to be
so
on our
property. So they're broadcasting out to other places, too, from our premises?
From both water towers up on the hill.
Okay. So, we're getting how much? What do you project that the value we're getting is per month for the internet service
well,
they would be giving?
Well, it's a good question. When we discussed internet options, we looked at a lot of different things, and one of the things we looked at was getting Comcast run into the building. And Comcast, neither one of these buildings are stubbed for cable like that, so that Comcast would have to come in and dig a pipe and run it to the building. And for the main city offices, it was going to cost $10,000. For this building, it was going to cost roughly $40,000.
So that's a heavy cost that would be encumbered by the city in order to get decent internet speeds, which sounds like a dumb thing, but when you think about uploading our server and protecting our information, it's not. So the city's quite seriously looking into that. These guys come along and offer speeds that solve a lot of our problems. However, when we were looking at the Comcast option, their commercial speeds, I believe they were still about $200 a month for their service.
For about the same month, a little faster. Yeah.
So I would say that the speeds that you're looking at are valued probably at a, well, these are the speeds that they offer to residential, so it's probably more like 50 to 100. That would be the value
at each location.
So
how many locations total?
What's that?
Six locations then?
They're saying the fire station as well, but they get Comcast, so we're not concerned about that. We're willing to take that building out of the mix because they have a franchise agreement with Comcast. Our firemen get free Comcast and do something in lieu of that.
I actually used to own a cell phone tower. And it seems like the going rate, it's been a while, I'd have to look back on my notes, but I think that the going rate was more like $1,000 a month for rent, if I remember right. Well,
it varies. It could be anything.
Mm-hmm. But it was pretty standard.
They've got to look at
different supply. We had five different renters on our tower, and I think it was $1,000 a month per renter, and even one of them was maybe up to $1,500. So I'm wondering if we have a little more negotiating power to get some money.
And I think our HOA gets either $500 or $750 for one of the dishes that's over here on this tower.
We're talking 10 dishes, though.
Right.
Here. So I just think we might have some negotiating power. We may want to... I'll find my rates and give them to you, but I don't really feel like approving it right now. Personally, I think we need a little more time to think about this because we may be able to get some better rates if we negotiate with them. Of course, they may not be willing to pay market price. This might not be their ideal location, and they might just be doing it, you know, because they're giving us a service, and so they're wanting to get a lot of savings. But, you know, it might scare them away. But I think I think that we probably could get something out of them, cash wise, per month.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Augustus.
Yes, two quick additions. Oh,
yeah. I was just going to say, their business plan usually is just to put it on people's homes, and so they give that home free internet. So I just see them going around us probably if we try to get money from them. Because that's just their business. Like they've done it in Saratoga Springs. Someone in my house has it on theirs, and then they do 10 houses around them.
But this, so, I would assume, we can give them, you know, if they're paying 10, this would
it would be a little easier, but they'll just go around a neighborhood and see who wants free internet. Mm-hmm. You know.
We just may want to do a little research on that before we...
Mr. Gordon.
And can I speak to the recreation side now, coming back
yes,
to that?
Yes, thank you.
I didn't know that was in there, so I apologize. But when Mr. Bunker and I spoke this morning, our concern isn't necessarily a huge issue. What we currently have is horrible. And so the change that we need to make to get things up and running in this building is whatever it needs to be. This isn't really a wedding center. It's not. It's a community center. So our when I encompass recreation, it's more than just events. But that is part of a concern for this area right here. So originally we had talked about, like he said, moving it over there. If we can do that, fantastic. But we'll do whatever it takes to get something better. And this is obviously better than what we have because currently things are dropping constantly and it's bad.
Okay.
So that's our perspective.
Mr. Augustus, you got another question?
Yeah, under the rent, are we okay with the $25 a month? Because if they start adding additional equipment, should we have some type of escalator in there based on number of
on
devices?
On the $25 a month, that's for...
Per power.
Per power.
Mm-hmm.
That's still probably overstating their power usage.
Well, but if they start adding more equipment and they're charging deep cycle batteries...
I don't think that... I mean, I don't know. I can't speak. I'm not a power expert, but I don't think that.
So it would be good to say something along the lines of, it would be that fee with the approved equipment as is. If they install more equipment, that would also need to be approved, and additional charges would be assessed.
Correct. And that's what I was kind of getting at is we need to have some escalator in there if they do start adding more equipment. I did notice under the access, just for clarification earlier, Chandler. Number 10, it says they pretty much tenant has employees, agents, and subcontractors will have access 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, rooftop and exterior access. If they need interior access, then they pay us to do it.
Yeah. So any access that they need, they would have a call list that they would start with, let's say, Mr. Gordon, and they call him, and let's say he has to come out here, and he's here for 2 hours. They've agreed that in that instance, they cover all of his costs for being here, his overtime. So whatever that rate is, they're covering it, that they're invoiced on that.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm getting at is, do we want them to be able to show up at any time and just jump on the roof without notifying us? Because right now there's nothing in there saying that
they have to notify us in order to be
there's
on the roof.
There's nothing in that contract
I'm pretty
that
sure
says they
we,
do.
We had talked about that, so I'll need to make sure that that's involved in there too, because we did have that exact discussion with them.
Yeah, I think we just need to clarify that they notify us prior to getting access to the building. So I would also like to make a motion to table this item and to have staff go through, talk with Vivint, review the recommendations made by council, and then re-present the lease agreement to us at a future council meeting.
I have something I'd like you to add if you're comfortable,
sure.
Which is that like a side-by-side comparison with Comcast. I know Comcast costs money, but it seems like there's a lot of extra concerns with Vivint, even though their speed's good. But it's your motion.
So when you say side by side, because would Comcast do the same thing where they want to put antennas on our building, or are we just looking at the rate for what Comcast would charge to get us service here?
I don't think Comcast wants to put antennas, right?
No, they don't want to put
I guess I'm trying to understand what you're looking for then.
Well, Comcast is also wanting our business, but it costs $10,000 for them to bring it to Cedar Hills. So
no, it costs us $10,000.
Excuse me. Yes, so, yeah. It costs us $10,000 to bring it to Cedar Hills. So, but they may have cleaner technology instead of putting things on a roof with where there's potential damage, and all the concerns that have been expressed here is that it would be nice to have a side-by-side comparison, saying this is what Comcast is willing to do, this is what Vivint is willing to do, and you guys compare the two and see which one you like.
Well, I guess I'm not quite understanding. So Comcast would be doing a completely different model than what Vivint is doing. So are you just looking to see if we could get a proposal from Comcast to bring service to this building?
Comcast has already been in conversations with us. And so they want to bring internet here. And so, but it would cost the city of Cedar Hills $10,000 in order to accomplish that. But both companies are wanting to provide internet to the city of Cedar Hills.
Mm-hmm.
So in as much as they're both wanting to be ISPs, why not look at what both companies are willing to do and the costs associated with that? Now, there may be zero cost to Vivint, yet there could be unintended consequences and damages, which you've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is Comcast, who also wants to be an ISP for the city of Cedar Hills, and we should see what they have to offer. What they're willing to do as well.
Yeah, I just didn't know Comcast was interested, so I'm just trying to figure out what...
They're both ISPs.
Well, I know they're ISPs. I'm just trying to figure out what Comcast would be presenting to us and what they would be offering.
So. That's what I'm saying, is that if you want to find out what that is, ask the staff to go back and do a side-by-side comparison so that you can see what Comcast is willing to do and you can see what Vivint's going to do, and then you guys can make a really good decision. But it's your motion.
We did contact Comcast, and so all Comcast would do is run a line to us, and we would be the only feed on that line. And as Chandler mentioned, it would be around $40,000 to bring it to this building and $10,000 to take it to the city offices on Canyon Road. So we would pay $50,000 to get service to these two facilities. At that point, it's just service to the city building. They would not then broadcast. We would not charge them rent. They would just charge us the $10,000 to get the facility there to the Canyon Road building, and then $40,000 here. So it would just be internet provider. That's all they would do. It's different. So Vivint wants to actually put equipment on our rooftop that then broadcasts a signal out where they would then send internet services to homes in their view from this rooftop. So that's why they would be willing to pay us a monthly fee and give us internet.
because they would be using that to provide service to other people.
Yeah, see,
which is a little different than Comcast.
Yeah, and the way that I'm understanding it is Vivint's main goal is to provide service to residents out either inside or outside of Cedar Hills.
Correct.
Where Comcast would be just providing us internet service for this building.
Right.
So to me, they're kind of apples and oranges a little bit. I understand what you're saying about the side-by-side, but I don't see them necessarily as the same idea or the same concept, unless I'm missing something.
I mean, I think what the mayor is trying to get at is we want to make the best financial decision for the city possible.
Right.
I don't know that I need to see a side-by-side comparison to make that decision, because we've already been told it's $50,000 just to wire up the buildings. Mm-hmm. That's enough money that I don't want to spend it. There's no cost for the internet services on top of that, which
is
a really good deal.
On the Comcast?
No, on our side, for Vivint.
For Vivint, no, there's no cost.
Right, so there's no installation fee for us.
Right.
There's no monthly recurring fee. So the only downside at all are these concerns we've been discussing. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're unaddressable.
I think they can be remedied.
Can be solved.
I think that because Vivint really wants to move on this. They'd like to have equipment on the building by the end of the month, which we would love. We'd love to have greater or better internet connections.
Well,
ASAP.
The nice thing is, I mean, from their point of view, this is going to give them a good line of sight to a lot of homes in our area, because it's up high.
So if you'd like,
and
I can meet with...
That's a benefit to our residents that we need to take into account, because now we have a lot of residents who have an alternative to Comcast, and I'm all for having multiple choices in the ISP market.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the only thing that lowers costs is having competition in the market.
So I would bet that Vivint would be willing to sit down with us and discuss these concerns in the next day or two, and we can have revisit this on Tuesday night.
If you can have it back for our next council meeting, it would be fantastic.
That's why I want a second.
So I was going to say my motion stands. I'm not going to change it. So
I didn't mean to hijack
your motion. No, you're fine.
Mr. Smart, did you want to say something?
Yes. The blue silos down there, that's our silos. And so we just signed up with Vivint. But the reason the costs on the cell tower versus internet service is the cell tower is thousands and thousands of signals coming in there, where an internet service is a lot lower. That's why the price is down.
Right.
And we've got Vivint in Harriman, and everybody loves it. The speed is really quick, so it's a very good service. And that's
especially if it's connected to your facility, because it's connected to my daughter's house, and she said it's just everything is just instantaneous.
Cool.
Thank you. Okay, I've got a motion. Did you second it?
I seconded it.
Say that again.
Motion died.
Do you want me to restate?
Yes, restate your motion, please.
I would make a motion that we table the Vivint contract for this meeting, and that we ask staff to go back with the changes that we have noted tonight, address those with the principals at Vivint, whoever that may be, readdress the contract, and represent that contract back to the City Council at our next City Council meeting, if at all possible.
I can second that motion.
Motion's been seconded. Any further discussion? Let's have a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Take a motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Oh, I love those, but not tonight. Not strongly.